On a cool autumn evening, a minister went up the top of a nearby mountain with some of his friends. Together, they opened the Bible and read aloud from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, which we heard this morning. Here, he declared, was the most complete description of the Christian life, where the very principles of Christ were laid out so that all might follow. That night, as Paul urged them, they pledged to devote themselves to one another in brotherly love. That night in 1915 was born the Ku Klux Klan. I wonder if you feel shocked to hear that Paul's words were foundational to a movement that today is synonymous with hate and violence and evil. I wonder if you feel shocked to know that this movement once claimed 40,000 ministers as members. You might wonder, how on earth could they hear Paul's words, Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And wonder, how could they go out and terrorize black families? I'd suggest to you that it's because they turned Jesus' words from Matthew, not simply upside down, but inside out. Jesus' words are hard to hear. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. These words challenge us today as much as they challenged Peter. And so I'd like to unpack this challenge just briefly this morning. When words are hard to hear, it's tempting not simply to soften them, but to evade them, to make them apply to somebody else rather than to see the shadows that might emerge when their light falls upon our own souls. Many Christians today might be tempted to believe that Jesus actually meant to say, well, if anyone wants to become my followers, let them study only the Bible intensely. Take up Calvin's institutes and criticize everybody else. But that's not what he said. Jesus' challenge comes at an important juncture. Last week, we saw how the Pharisees and leaders challenged Jesus to produce a sign, something to show that he is authorized to be doing what he is doing, and approved to say what he is saying. He produced a sign, all right, but not for those out to get him. He spread a table of plenty in the wilderness. He took some bread and some fish, and he demonstrated God's generous and open hospitality to all those who wanted to show up. And Peter got it. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, he declared. After showing his disciples what God wants to do, in our reading today, Jesus begins to tell them how God's kingdom is going to unfold. By going to Jerusalem, by suffering greatly, by being killed, by being raised on the third day. And Peter is horrified. He reacts viscerally to the pathway that's foreseen by Jesus. This makes no rational or spiritual sense. How could anything good come from Jesus being killed? How could defeat ever be the doorway to hope? How could love beat hate by hanging upon the cross? How could the end ever be a beginning? Jesus' words here in Matthew 16 never make sense to anyone who is powerful, which is why I think he challenges his disciples in precisely this way. Because if we are not careful, we end up turning Jesus' words upside down by insisting that we are the only ones who speak for God. We turn these words inside out when we tell everyone else how they are not holy or saved like us. Jesus' words are challenging because we are meant to listen to them. If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. I think Clarence Jordan illuminates their meaning in his Cotton Patch Gospel by translating them this way. Anyone who wants to walk my life, my way, must abandon self, accept his lynching, and share my life. So what does it mean to deny oneself, to abandon oneself? Self-denial isn't simply a matter of being prepared to accept a little inconvenience, as if Christ is suggesting that, well, you might just need to walk a little bit if you can't get a car park out front of your chosen shop. Self-denial is about letting go of the need to control everything and everyone around us. It's about letting go of our pride, the desire to be better, or at least seen to be better than others. Self-denial is about humility. It's about acknowledging that we are far from perfect in what we know, believe, or do. It's about being prepared to own our own deficiencies and limitations rather than ignoring or minimizing them. It's about recognizing that we need to learn something. So humility is about holding our own worth, our own skills or achievements or knowledge lightly, so that there is room for someone else, for something more. Because without humility, we can't learn anything. And our minds stay small, and our hearts stay cold. So what about taking up the cross? I'm sure many Christians who hear these words often use them. At times, like at morning tea when the milk runs out, as if to say, that's okay, this is a cross I can bear. The cross we're used to seeing is very often a piece of jewelry or a symbol of a strong community. But don't forget that the cross was the sign of the KKK, a truth that they held so that they could place it upon the lawn of their enemies and set it on fire. In Jesus' day, the cross was a sign of brutality and cruelty, because the cross was a sign of power. It was a sign that the authorities could not simply take someone's life. It wasn't a sign that they could just humiliate them. It was a sign designed to terrorize a whole community. After all, every Judaic person knew that God considered all who were elevated in that way to be cursed, to be beyond hope and salvation. It was a sign that shouted to the whole community, see, there is nothing that can stop us from doing the same to you. So why would Jesus want anyone to pick up something so horrible? Picking up the cross is about letting go of our pride. It's about letting go of power and the desire to dominate others. To accept your own lynching is not simply to accept the reality of weakness and powerlessness in this world. It is about being prepared to hear what God has to say instead of always talking on his behalf. For God overcomes his enemies not by killing them, but by turning them into friends. And so to take up the cross is not to trust in our own power, but to trust in God's power to make the world anew. As Peter discovered, to act as if we know better than God and to push for power is not to follow Jesus, but to stand in his way. That's why Jesus calls his disciples to follow him. Now, if denying yourself, if carrying your cross sounds too hard, then just start here by learning to follow Jesus. For Jesus is the one who stands against all the powers of this world. He is the one who reaches out in love. He is the one who sustains all who hunger and thirst for a different world. Following Jesus means being prepared to learn from him, to be his apprentice in this world. It means trying to be open to his presence and doing things his way by investing our lives in the renewal of this world. Not that it depends upon us, but we do this simply because that's the direction in which God is going. It means learning how to overcome evil by doing good instead. It's because of Jesus' life that we can risk taking this path of love. It's because of Jesus' death that we can dedicate ourselves to learning how to be good friends who are unafraid of playing sick and fiddle. We can be hopeful and inventive when everyone else has given up and gone home. Instead of hitting back, we can see the good in others and work hard to get along with everyone. It's because of Jesus' resurrection that we can be confident that evil will never get the best of us, because evil never got the best of him. So if you're tired of seeing unfairness and injustice, if you're worn out by people's indifference and hopelessness, then know that someone has overcome all these things. Someone who has overcome all evil by doubling down on doing good. Someone who played the long game and who invested his life in peace and love. So the challenge of Jesus' words have not dulled with time. It was not the white men who stood atop Stone Mountain that understood Jesus' words, but the black families who were terrorized, who understood what it meant to follow Jesus. My challenge to you is, are you prepared to be open, to listen carefully to these words, and maybe to make a fresh start to follow Jesus? Because the new way he offers, the fresh start that you might long for, starts right now. Because the cross is never the end. It's only the beginning. And by stepping out from under all our desire to control and to dominate others, that's how we find ourselves set free, so that faith and hope and love can truly flourish in this world. Amen.